I invite you to join me in Acts chapter 8. The church, Kitchens Creek Baptist Church in Ball, Louisiana, sends their greetings to all of you. The men at the prison, one of the prisons where I go, they prayed for us Monday night during the services, and just they told me, said, tell everybody hello. So this meeting's thought about and it's prayed for. And I do pray the Lord will speak to our hearts. Acts chapter 8. Now, the church of Jerusalem, the church in general, is going through a terrible time of persecution, as it tells us in verse 1. That time, it was great persecution at Jerusalem. You say, that's so sad. It was so good because they were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles and devout men carried Stephen, who had just been killed, assassinated. They carried him to his burial. They mourned his death. And Saul of Tarsus, he was going about what he was doing, wreaking havoc among the church. Verse 4, and therefore they that were scattered abroad, they went everywhere preaching the word. And Philip, this is not the apostle Philip. There were several different Philips mentioned in the scriptures. This is the evangelist Philip, preacher Philip. Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he did what all God's ministers do. He preached Christ to them. Preached Christ to them. And it stirred up problems. There were some got glad and some got mad. You can't help that. And the moment we try to make everybody glad, we've quit preaching the gospel. There's a stirring. There's a plowing that is done when the gospel's preached. And you know, when the seed's going to be planted, you put that plow to the ground, it rips it to its heart, doesn't it? I mean, it just tears it all to pieces. And then after you get through turning it over, and you put the disc in there, and you chop it up some more. And you chop it, and you chop it. And then you're going to get your hair out, and you're going to run that over it, and it's just going to tear it up some more. It's a destruction. This gospel destroys everything that we count dear. Did you know that?
Yes, sir.
But once that ground is torn all to pieces, then the seed's planted. Like I say, there was some here with one accord. They gave heed to the things which were spoken by Philip there, hearing and seeing the miracles that he did. Unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And then there was another one. He wanted this power. His name was Simeon. Said, what's it going to cost to get to do that? Everything. 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 And I'm just trying to give you a little background because I want to get down to what I want to say to you tonight. Verse 25, and they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem, preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. He said, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Who wants to go to a desert? That's where you go preach the gospel. It's a desert. And Philip just did it. He arose and went. And then, verse 27, I like that word, behold. And behold. I love that word. You know that word, if we can describe it, it's the marquee lights. You've been over here to Reno or been down to Las Vegas at night and all the the signs, everybody vying for your business, trying to get your attention, and the lights going off. That's what this word right here is. It's a marquee lights. There's something going on here, and the Lord's calling our attention to it. Behold, something from all eternity has been purposed, planned, and brought to pass. Behold. It wasn't just luck. Wasn't it have anything to do with it? But there was a man, as always, a man, a certain man, a certain woman, a certain person. The Lord always deals with us as individuals, always does. He speaks to us. You know, on that road to Damascus, Paul saw a great light. The rest of them said they heard a noise, but they didn't know what was going on. They saw a light, but they didn't know what it was. But there was a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. He had charge of all of her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning from Jerusalem back to Ethiopia. Now, we don't know much about this man. We don't know how this man became, this slave of the queen of Ethiopia came to be a reader of the scriptures. I've read everything that I could find. I've gone back and tried to find out, and all you read is tradition says and legend says. But this man, somehow or another, had come across the scriptures and had read the scriptures and had been moved upon to make this long journey. And you get your maps out and you'll find that Ethiopia was a long way south of Jerusalem. I guesstimated about 1,500 miles. It may be more than that. A long journey that this man had made. And you know, when they went up to the synagogue, you remember Paul, one time when they went into Macedonia, they went, and their custom was on the Sabbath day to go into the synagogue, and they were reading the law and the prophets. And when the elders finished reading the law and the prophets, they invited Paul. They said, do you men have any word of exhortation for the people? And Paul stood up and preached the gospel to them. He just told them what this all points to Christ. Everything you just got through reading has spoken of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the gospel that we preach to you. That's what he told them. Well, when this man went up to Jerusalem, obviously they must have been reading the law and the prophets as was the custom on the Sabbath day. And he was on his way back. And he was going back over what had been read. I'm sure. He's reading out of the prophet Isaiah. I don't know how much light this man had. But what light he had, he followed. He followed it. I don't know how much light the Lord's given you. But whatever he's given you, follow it. Follow that light. He'll give you some more light. And I've said it so many times, it's like climbing that ladder. Don't start climbing on the top rung of that ladder. You got to start at the bottom. And you put all your weight on that first rung before you can go to the second rung. But you got to do that. What the Lord shows you, believe it with all your heart. And then he'll show you something else. But don't start in Revelation till you started in Genesis and work your way to it. Don't expect to know all the mysteries until you start at the bottom. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Start there. Who he is. What he's done for us. What God demands of us. How far short we come. How we've missed the mark. Start right there. And maybe the Lord will reveal something something else to you. This man had a desire and an interest to know the truth of God. And ever how that desire started, ever how that interest was started in him, he followed it. He wasn't bound by his customs or his traditions, or he had never gone up to Jerusalem. So many people, they're so bound up by their customs, their traditions. They're so bound by what Mama and Grandma and Grandpa said to them that they won't, you know, well, how many times have you heard, well, my Bible doesn't say that. That never surprises me. It doesn't surprise me at all. Their Bible doesn't say that. Their Bible, because it's a figment of their imagination, doesn't speak of who God is and who we are, what the Lord God of heaven demands of us, and what His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has provided for us. This man, though he wasn't bound by his customs and his traditions, whatever the Lord's revealed to you, follow it. And instead of complaining that you don't have any more light, just make good use of the light you have, what He's given you, what He's shown you. Believe it with all your heart. And this man, this Ethiopian eunuch, a slave, he'd become a proselyte to the faith of Israel, somehow or another. And he made this long, dangerous journey up to Jerusalem. And having been there, enjoyed this worship, this time of worship, whatever was going on in Jerusalem at that time, he was on his way home. And while he traveled, he continued to read. He continued to read the Word of God. Oh, I tell you, if we would just do that, continue to think and meditate upon what we've heard. In our paper, I take the paper. I get the biggest kick out of reading it. You know, you never have to invent an illustration. The paper's full of them. Especially on Saturday when it gets religious and they put the religious section in them. And they're interviewing this preacher. I use that word loosely. But, well, tomorrow you're going to have your morning religious service. What are you going to do in the afternoon? And he said, well, I'm going to eat some pasta. Then he said, I'm going to drink some wine. And he said, then I may go play a round of golf. Now, I'm not fussing anybody that goes play a round of golf on Sunday afternoon. What I'm talking about is the importance of thinking back and remembering and meditating on what we've just heard. Not forgetting it. This man's a good example that he didn't forget it. He was thinking about it. He was on his heart. He wanted to read some more. There was something that was just gnawing at him that he couldn't get rid of. And in God's gracious providence, he was reading from one of my favorite passages of Scripture. At this particular time, when Philip came up close, said in verse 28, he was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. And over there on the other side, here's the Spirit of God working on this man to read from what he had to read again what he had just heard, read, and to think about it, to meditate it. And over here on the other side, and the Spirit of the Lord was speaking to Philip. And he said to Philip, it's the way it always works out, you know, always. He said to Philip, see that chariot over there? I can just see Philip looking off over across that desert. Yeah, I can see, you know, see the heat, you know, but I can see that chariot way off over. And the Spirit said to Philip, go to it. Go near. And not just near, he said, join thyself to this chariot. And Philip said, well, let me pray about it. No. He said he ran, doesn't it? He ran there. Couldn't get there fast enough. Just ran there. And he heard this man, this Ethiopian, reading the prophet Isaiah. And Philip asked him one of those other great questions. Donnie, you can add to that list. You were talking about this morning. Do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand? How can a man be just with God, you see? Do you understand what you read? Do you understand what you read? And he said, how can I? How can I? And this is the spirit of every person without exception that the Lord God of heaven is moving on. How can I except some man should guide me? The surest sign that the Spirit of God is not moving on your heart is when you say, I don't need a preacher. I don't need a preacher. I don't need that preacher to tell me anything. I can do it myself. I can find it out myself. Just mark it down. Spirit's not dealing with you. Whatever you feel, it's not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is going to bring you into contact with God's messenger. Without exception. Without exception. And Philip desired him, verse 31, he desired Philip, that Philip would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. Isaiah 53. He's reading this particular time, verse 7 and 8. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip. Now he's answering the question, do you understand what you read? Then we had that little parenthesis put in there where the Spirit of God showed us what he was reading. And here he answers Philip the question, do you understand what you read? And he said, I pray thee, here's another good question I add to that, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Is he talking about himself? Or is he talking about some other man? Who's he talking about? And Philip, he just opened his mouth and began at that scripture and preached unto him Jesus. What are you going to do? My, what an opportunity. He just opened his mouth and preached to him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if you believe what you've just read, what the Spirit of God just spoken to your heart, you believe it with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe. And oh, what a statement. I can't even read it with the power that I'd love to read it, with the fullness with which I'd love to be able to read this statement. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now you go out here on the street and you ask, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Oh, sure. Swapping their bubble gum from one side of their mouth to the other at the same time, popping it on the way over. I wish I could say it, what it means. And we could spend all eternity talking of that one, about that one statement right there, if we never went anywhere else. And he commanded that eunuch. He's the one in command of this chariot. He said, stop it right there. Commanded that chariot to stand still. I just take it that he believed what he said he believed. And they went both down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And Philip baptized him. When they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip went back to the office and started filling in the logbook. Well, baptized another in the day. No, Philip, they just found him as Zotus. Passing through, he preached in all the towns till he came to Caesarea. He didn't stop. Just continued to do. Well, let's slide these numbers out. We got another one we got to stick in here in the board up on the wall. We got another one. Got another one. You've been reading in the paper how concerned the organization is, the Great Baptist Organization, of that, how much baptisms have fallen off. And they're planning a big campaign right now, nationwide, because baptism falling off. The easiest thing in the world, get somebody to duck them in that water right there. Do you know it? I tell you, folks, as a pastor, I have them ask me, and I say no. I had a man, we were, you know, I wouldn't say friends in that sense, because I don't know if I'd give my life for him, and I'm sure he wouldn't give his life for me, but we were acquaintances, and we talked a lot. And he said, Brother Milton, he said, would you baptize me? He said, I've been baptized in every Baptist church in Central Louisiana, he said, except yours. He said, would you baptize me? I said, no. Sure wouldn't. He didn't particularly like what I told him, but these things go on, and that's just one illustration of it. But in God's providence, I want to talk about this man in just a minute. In God's gracious providence, he was reading a portion of the Scriptures, and Philip preached unto him Jesus as his slain lamb, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, the willing sacrifice for guilty men, the Lord who always bring his chosen to cross paths with his gospel minister, his gospel messenger. And I ask you this same question tonight. Do you understand this? Do you understand what you read? There's a need to understand what we read. We know, we must know that the Scriptures speak of Christ. And if you don't find Christ, you've missed it. Man, you know, I get passages of Scripture thrown out to me. People that have had sometimes days and weeks to think about a particular passage of Scripture, and they say, Pastor, you got a minute? They'll flip away. He said, the last one, Ezekiel 8, I think it was. What does that mean? What does that verse mean right there in Ezekiel 8? I think it's somewhere around verse 13, 14, something like that. I can't remember. Don't go look it up. I'm not even sure if it was chapter 8. Not even really sure if it was Ezekiel. I think it was. But I said, I don't know. But I said, I do know this. It's talking something about Christ. But I said, man, give me a little time, a few days. I said, I'll see you Monday, the Lord willing. And I said, this was like on Thursday. I said, give me the Monday. Let me read it. I didn't have time to read it then. But I said, go back to the first verse and start reading and read all the way down to the end of that chapter. And if you still don't find the answer, either start earlier or just keep reading. I said, you'll find out what that means there. But I said, just remember this. It's speaking of Christ. Whatever else, somewhere it's talking about Christ, somehow or another. This isn't a history book. It's not a philosophy book. It's not a rule book. It's talking about Christ. It's a love letter from God to His people. Speaking of the spouse, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. When you read it, see Christ. Philip asked this man, I said, do you understand what you read? Well, I just want us to look at a little bit about what this man was reading. Turn back over to Isaiah 53 with me. Isaiah 53. I want us just to think about what this man had been reading. Now, he was reading verse 7 and 8. But that was just when Philip got there. That's what he heard. And I'm sure he didn't just let the Bible fall open and put his finger on a verse and then start reading. I think he was reading before that. And we could go back to verse 1 if we wanted to. But let me just for time's sake, just look at verse 6. He had to have been reading that. Look at verse 4. He said, surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But, that's what we think, but he was wounded for our transgressions. Substitution. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we're healed. All y'all, that's the way we say it in Texas. All y'all, all us, all we, like sheep. You know, when the Scripture calls us sheep, that's such a blessing. Just imagine to be one of God's sheep. But many times in the Scriptures when we're called sheep, it's not very flattering. This is one of those places where it's not very flattering that we're called sheep. Probably one of the dumbest animals that ever lived. You ever seen one in a circus? I could go on, but I won't. That's not my message tonight. But he said, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. I've never raised sheep. Been around a lot of them. Talked to people that raised them. And they'll tell you, they'll put the head down and start eating and walk over a cliff. Never lift up their head. They'll wander off. I was preaching in a detention center, one of ICE, Immigration Custom Enforcement, detention centers for illegals. And we had 90% of them were Hispanic, but there were some English-speaking people there. So I was doing a bilingual service. And I was preaching from Psalm 23. And I got talking about the sheep. And I said, they have no defense. They're ignorant. They're stupid. And I went on. I got done. This black man came up from Africa. And he said, I can't imitate the way it sounds because it'd come out like an African lived in Texas. You know, but he said, Pastor, he said, sheep have one defense. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, they all stay together. He said, and the lion, think it one big animal. He said, lion won't attack the sheep when they're all together. He said, the only way they'll attack if they can separate one out. I said, you just bless my heart. You don't know, but you told me something that I'd never heard before. Sheep stick together. That's our only defense. And the lion won't attack us while we're one. We're together. Oh, but if he can ever separate us out. It's amazing. The destruction. If it ever can divide us. All we like sheep have gone astray. That's us. We've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You notice it starts with all, it ends with all. That's A-L-L, all. That's not the kind of all you put in your car. That's all. A-L-L, a whole bunch of us. All of us. He had been reading that. Well, that's me. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He said, who's talking? Is this talking about the prophet? Is he talking about somebody else? And then he had to have been reading through these passages of Scripture over in Isaiah 54, verse 3. Had to come across this verse. Sometimes you get a chance. Do it on your own time, but read all this. Verse 3 of chapter 54, he said, "For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentile." Gentile! Hey, he just called my name. That's my family name. I'm of the Howard family. I just think that eunuch, he just said, man, I thought this was to the Jews. And he just put me in there, Gentiles, and his seed. Well, that's Christ. He's going to inherit the Gentiles. I'm one of those Gentiles who's going to be possessed by God's seed, Christ Jesus. He's going to make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Then he must have got to this next part while he was doing all of this reading, because it's been a pretty long journey from Jerusalem. Chapter 55, there he said, "Ho! Everyone that thirsteth." No distinction. The only qualification is thirsty. Yes. Brother Scott Richardson said you fit the character. You thirsty? That's all it said. Didn't say Jew or Gentile, did it? Are you thirsty? "Ho! Everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters." And that's not an invitation. The only way we can distinguish words in English is by voice inflection. And I'm not a Greek scholar, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but I do know a little bit about Spanish. And that word right there is a command form. It's imperative, come. You don't ever find God's prophets, God's preachers, inviting people. They commanded them to bow. Come. Come to the waters. You thirsty? Where do you go? To the waters. "And he that hath no money, come ye." Who? Me? Ye. "Buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine, milk, without money and without price." Look at verse 6. Look at verse 6. "Seek ye the Lord." Again, that's not an invitation. Buscar al Señor. That's a command. Imperative. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found." Call. That's not an invitation. Another. Llamadle. Mientras puede ser hallado. Call upon him. Command form. While he's near. Call upon him. And then he had got down to look back at verse 5 here in Isaiah 55. He had to have seen this promise while he was reading through this. Behold, there it is again. "Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee." And then he had to gotten down to his favorite part of Scripture, chapter 56, look at verse 3. "Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch..." The eunuch! That's like saying, "Milton Howard." He just called my family name Gentile. Now he's calling my name. The eunuch? Huh. "Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I'm a dry tree." Can you imagine him reading that? "For thus saith the Lord." The Lord speaks to eunuchs? "Thus saith the Lord." That's what it says. "Unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths."
Let's think about that for a minute. And choose the things that please me. And take hold of my covenant. Look at that. Verse 5. Even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place. And look, and a name better than of sons and of daughters. Hey, who's he talking about here? Oh, he said, I'll give them an everlasting name. And they shall not be cut off. Can you just let your mind wander a little bit, your imagination work just a little bit, and put yourself, have you been there? When all of a sudden, you say, the Lord spoke to me this morning. Have you heard that? You pastors that are here, go out, somebody come out, the Lord spoke to me. That was for me this morning. Maybe nobody else heard it. And I can imagine all the people there that were there in Jerusalem when they read the law and the prophets. They heard this. And I imagine some of them didn't make much of an impression on, but I bet you one thing, it made an impression on this eunuch. They called his name here. He saw God's love toward those who were despised. He's a slave. He's a foreigner. He's a stranger. Sometime you have time, go back and read about the strangers in Israel and the command that the Lord God of heaven, the commands, plural, that the Lord gave concerning the strangers in the land. Here was a man who was an Ethiopian, a slave, a eunuch, a foreigner, and a stranger. But here's God's love toward those who are despised by this world. And Philip took that passage of Scripture and he spoke to him. And he speaks to us. We're that eunuch. Ain't a Jew in here, I don't imagine. He speaks to us. Oh, I pray you'd speak to our hearts tonight. Thank you, Brother Gene.
If you be Christ,